Welcome to St. Philip's Chapel Street. You're listening to an audio podcast of our Sunday Preach. We really hope it encourages you and draws you closer to Jesus. If you want to know more about St. Philip's, you can find us online at stphillips.org.uk or on social media at SP Chapel Street.
Hello, what a beautiful weekend we've had, guys. Isn't it gorgeous? Loving this weather. Okay, so we're talking about miracles, the gift of miracles. We've been looking through Acts at different gifts, and today we're looking at this passage of Peter experiencing this incredible miracle through the power of Jesus. So do you believe in miracles? I have one of my favorite programs. Who's watched Ted Lasso? Yes. Isn't it amazing, folks? Okay, I'm a bit of an evangelist, but you must watch it if you haven't, okay? It is brilliant, isn't it? Folks, isn't it brilliant? If you want to learn how to be a good leader, watch Ted Lasso. Anyway, there's a part where he says, do you believe in miracles? And he's a football coach, and he's trying to give that pep talk to his team. And I just thought I wanted to use it as just the first. I wanted to actually show the clip, but I'm not allowed to because of licensing, because it's brilliant as the first bit of the talk. But do you believe in miracles? Why? Can I just ask you just to chat to the person next to you and just say, what comes into your head when I say miracles? Okay, for those who are introverts, you've had a good think. I know sometimes that's the worst nightmare, being told to talk to the person next to you. So, do you believe that miracles can happen today? Do you just believe they only happened in the Bible? Have you experienced a miracle? Have you read or heard about a miracle? Do you think miracles are only for a certain person? Or do you think it's a load of rubbish? Or are you disappointed or grieving because you prayed for a miracle and it didn't happen? Well, my aim for this talk is to unpack Acts 12 a little bit and see what we can learn from Peter, and also share, if we've got some time, some of my testimonies, which will show you God's power and that miracles do happen today. So what is a miracle? A miracle is a demonstration of something that only God can do. Miracles play an important part of God's purposes for our lives. C.S. Lewis describes a miracle as an interference with nature by supernatural power. Miracles show God off, that he is the king over everything. A miracle is an extraordinary event that happens with no natural or scientific explanation. And I believe we're surrounded by miracles. You know, when we're walking, I think sometimes we... It keeps going, is that for... Should I go like that? It's annoying me. Is that better? Can you still hear me? Yeah. Sorry, I could just hear this annoying noise. But when I'm walking, sometimes walking with a dog, I'm busy and I'm in my own head and, you know, I'm just rushing around and I don't notice what's around me. But sometimes when I'm walking the dog, I just see Jesus all around. If you haven't been to Peel Park, another thing I'm going to be an evangelist for, go and see it. It's beautiful. And you see the beauty, the creation. I saw a heron today as I was walking Muttley, our dog. God is so incredible. And, you know, when I'm looking at the sea, I can't not believe there's a God, all the stars. And I think one of the most incredible things I've had a privilege of seeing is my children being birthed. It's extraordinary. You know, honestly, guys, I've got a photo here of Toby. This is Toby, okay? This is him as soon as he came out of me. He looks like he's praying. I'm going to really embarrass him. But isn't it beautiful? That is a miracle. And, you know, if you don't believe in miracles, look in the mirror. You're a miracle. God knows every single hair on your head. He knows every single thought. I believe in the gift of miracles. Sorry, guys, I was just checking that I hadn't missed a page. In Matthew 28, 18, the Great Commission, it says, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, I stand today because of a miracle. When I was a little girl, we lived in Nigeria, in Benin City. And my parents would, my dad was a doctor, my mum was a nurse. This is me as a little girl, looking very African in my African dress there, with my Sunday school teacher. And we went to a church called the Miracle Center. It was called the Miracle Center. And one night, they were talking about the mission statement. And the mission statement was, "Live in righteousness and faith." Well, my parents didn't realize this was going to happen. But they went home, as they usually did in the night. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, some armed men came into my parents' house with machetes. And obviously, it was very scary for them and for us. And it was chaos. But my dad remembered that mission statement, "Live in righteousness and faith," that he had chanted. He said he even bought the car sticker with all of the Miracle Center. And so what he did, he remembered that Jesus was going to be with him and he was going to look after his family and that he was a good God. So he stood on the bed and he said, "In the name of Jesus, I demand you to leave this house." The men, the armed men with machetes, left. That is the power of God. I'm here because of that. In Psalm 124:8, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Mark 16:17-18, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." And at the end of Acts, as we read more, we'll read more about Paul and miraculous signs. He picks up a snake, and he's not harmed. He sees loads and loads of healings. We have the authority in the name of Jesus. And you know, the Bible is full of miracles. And some of my favorites, I love God turning water into wine. That's a brilliant one. Guys, if you're at a party, you know, some drunk people, tell them about that. You know, tell people who say that God is boring. Oh my goodness, water into wine. Jesus walking on the water. Jesus feeding the 5,000, 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all they had. And loads of other healings. And the biggest miracle is Jesus rising from the dead. so he could forgive our sins. What an incredible miracle. So what can we learn from this passage we've just read? Peter's miraculous escape from prison. I think the first thing I want to say is that in walking with Jesus, there will be opposition and persecution. It's not the Disney gospel. I think sometimes we think we'll become a Christian and everything is going to be fine. Throughout Acts, it talks about the church growing. It was in a season of exciting times, great growth and blessing. But alongside that, the disciples and the church faced huge opposition and persecution. Verse 1 and 2 tells us King Herod was mad at the fact that Christianity was growing. So he started to arrest Christian leaders. He wanted to stop it. He was mad. Herod then killed James, one of the disciples. This was Peter's friends. Peter must have been devastated. And in verse 4, then Herod plans to do the same to Peter after the Passover. He arrests him and puts him in prison. Peter's innocent. The enemy hates miracles and blessings and growing churches. The enemy will stir up opposition and difficulties in these times of blessings and miracles. And we can't assume that being a Christian is an easy life. All through the Bible, it tells us this, that it is a cost. Matthew 5, 10, 11, 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Luke 6, 22 to 23. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is the reward, your reward, in heaven. 2 Timothy 3, 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I could go on. But you know, folks, with Jesus, those of us who know Jesus, we have him with us in those hard times. And you know, there are many, many stories, aren't there, that we read where people have been persecuted. We're so privileged in the Western world. We don't know what persecution means. But some of the books I've read, but they all talk and have the testimony of Jesus being with them. You read about them worshipping in horrendous situations. We had a privilege of meeting a lady called Hae Woo from North Korea a few years ago. She was talking at New Wine and we had dinner with her. She was put in prison. She was persecuted for her faith. She had such awful stories that she told us how these people treated her and her friends. She lost friends because of their faith. But do you know, even though she risked her life, she chose to set up a church plant in a toilet block, folks, in a toilet block of the prison. She believed in God so much. She was so full of Jesus. She was absolutely adorable. She had something about socks, and she gave us all these Christmas socks, our family. But she loved Toby. She was a small lady. And Toby must have been about 12, but she was smaller than Toby. And we were just so taken back about how much she loved Jesus, even though she'd been through all this persecution. She gave Toby this picture that he has in his room still today. And, you know, she wrote in this little book, and it was incredible. She got this little book out, and she said, I'm going to pray for you. And she wrote our names down. I'm like, when I'm struggling, I'm like, Hey Woo is praying for us. We're going to be all right. She was a power woman. But my experience is that in the blessings, there are battles. It's battles and blessings. This month, we've seen so many answers to prayers. But man, it's come at a cost this month. It's been the busiest month. We've seen people come to know Jesus. We've prayed with people. But wow, it's been a cost to our family. So how did Peter and the church respond to this opposition, this persecution? Well, it's not rocket science, folks. He prayed. The church prayed. Verse 5, the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Verse 12, many people had gathered and were praying. Praying is so important. Being together, coming to church, coming together in our connect groups, praying on Instagram when we do it, when we do our half nights of prayer, is so important that we sacrifice maybe that Netflix night, or feeling a little tired, or having to get an hour earlier so we can join 7 a.m. prayers. If we read and want to, the stuff that we see and read in the books, in the Bible, in the talks that we hear, in the fact that we want to see these things like Peter, you know, miraculously escaping from prison, we've got to pray, guys. But we've got each other. We've got to remember when Moses was tired, he had people holding up his hands. Can't do it on our own. We need each other. And when we read in Acts, even in their disappointment and an answered prayer, they still prayed. They were praying for Peter's best friend, James, disciple. He was killed, verse 2, put to death by the sword. This was an unanswered prayer. This was an unanswered miracle. But they kept going. They kept praying. Now, that doesn't mean that James was any less of a Christian. All those people that were praying weren't praying hard enough. Like we read earlier, James' reward is in heaven. Sometimes we don't win the battles here on earth. We win them in heaven. Let's not give up praying. It must have been horrendous for Peter. Praying for himself, but knowing that his friend had just been killed. Lucy said, I'm okay sharing this, but for 2 years, our Lucy, second daughter, she has been dealing with chronic pain. We've been under the cardiologist, the rheumatologist. We've been in and out of hospital. She's in pain most days. We've been praying for a miracle. We've been praying that she will get healed. She's had a bit of healing here and there, but the pain is still there. We don't understand, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to give up praying for her or praying for that miracle. And nor is anyone else who's praying alongside us as a family. Has it been hard? Yes. But we'll keep going. One of my friends, she lost her daughter, at the age of 14. We were all praying for her. She had cancer. Unbelievable, excruciating pain and grief. Don't get it. But she's with Jesus in heaven. But do you know, I saw this friend a few weeks ago. Extraordinary faith. She's not given up. I don't know how I would have felt, or, you know, losing a daughter of 14 years old. But she was still praying. She was still praying for other people. She was still praying for the miracles. She wasn't giving up, just like Peter and the church. Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Holding on to that. But when they prayed, they obviously had a real connection, a deep relationship with God. Our connection with God is key. I know in the darkest times, when I've walked through really hard times, I don't understand. I'm like, where are you, God? But he's met me, and it's been so sweet and beautiful. Peter's situation was impossible when he was in prison. But we learn from Peter's posture, don't we? It's inspirational. In verse 6, it tells us Peter slept chained between two guards. In the Message translation, it says he slept like a baby. Now, because I put Toby up as a baby, I'm making it fair, everyone. There's Lucy and Daisy, fast asleep, like sleeping babies. They all get a pound if I mention them, and I'm making everything fair. I've embarrassed them all right. But, you know, sleeping babies, they're beautiful to watch, but when babies sleep, they're not worrying, are they? They know that their parents are in control. They're at peace. And Peter obviously felt that. But he was in a cold prison. I don't know if it was cold, probably hot actually. It's probably too hot. Would it have been too hot, wouldn't it? Looking at Gareth theology and all of that, but getting it all wrong. Hey, it's looking down. Wonder if I've got it right, everyone. Probably be hot, actually. But it wouldn't be nice, would it? And he's chained between two guards, but he slept like a baby. His friend had just died, but he was at peace. For me, when I sleep, oh my goodness, am I right, Diva? I have to be horizontal. I have to have the lights off. It has to be dark. I have to have no sound. If I go anywhere and there's a ticking clock, I have to take the clock out and put it outside the room. I don't know if anyone else relates to that. And then when I got stress or anxiety, I really struggle with my sleep. I've got a lot to learn. I want to be at peace. I want to be like Peter and be able to sleep like a baby and not have those worries, knowing that Jesus is in control. So how did Peter do it? We said prayer, connection. But he had the power of the Holy Spirit. I think Peter had extraordinary character, and that doesn't just come in a day. He'd worked really hard on this. We read about Peter. I love Peter. You know, he wasn't, you know, he was quite abrupt sometimes when we read earlier about him. But he'd allowed Jesus to mold him and to work on his character, and that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. So how's your posture today when dealing with the impossible or the unanswered miracles? Are you letting God work on your character? Earlier, we had some verses which talked about rejoicing when you're persecuted. I've got a long way to go. I've got some work to do. And that's by spending time with Jesus. All the books that I read, the key is falling in love with Jesus. There's a beautiful book that I love. It's one of my favorites, and it's called The Gentle Breeze of Jesus. And it's about these missionaries in the 70s just doing bonkers stuff for the Lord. And it's extraordinary what they saw and what they did. And that's because of their relationship with Jesus. When I'm going through a really difficult time, I try have that discipline of thanking the Lord for the good things, trying to rejoice, even if it's really, really tough. Well, I've got a roof over my head. I've got food on the table. I've got a husband who loves me. I've got three beautiful children. And it lifts your soul. In Nigeria, in the Miracle Center, we used to sing a song lots called Rejoice, Rejoice, and Be Glad in It, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Can we sing that every day, even in the hard times? So we read on in Acts that God then sends this angel to Peter. He answers his prayers. He answers the church's prayers. But this is not straight away. Passover lasts for about 7 days. And I don't know about you, but when I pray, God always answers at the last minute. And it seems this was the case too. So the angel breaks Peter free. Peter then gets dressed and follows the angel. But he's so asleep, he's so sleeping like a baby, he doesn't even know that it's happening to him. He's so chilled out. And then the next bit of the miracle, verse 10, the main gate opened for them by itself. And then Peter realizes it's real when the angel leaves in verse 11. Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me. And then Peter goes to the house. He knows where the church are praying for him. He goes to that church meeting. He knocks on the door. I love this bit. He knocks on the door. The servant girl comes down. And she hears Peter, but she's so excited, she doesn't even answer the door. She runs upstairs and leaves him waiting. I mean, he must have been absolutely exhausted. He'd been in prison, and he doesn't even get let in. I love that bit. But then, you know, even then, when the servant girl tells them, you know, Peter's here, he's alive. They don't believe her. But then they go downstairs and they open the door and there is Peter. And they're astonished. Wow. And then what does Peter do next? He describes how the Lord has brought him out of prison and then asks them to tell James and the brothers. He says, share. Talk about what's happened. End of this chapter. Peter then leaves Jerusalem to go, and he spreads the word in other areas, and the word of God continues. But what's key here is that we share about the good things that God has done in our lives, whether that be one-to-one in our connect groups or testimonies, because it raises faith. I know when I've heard talks or I've read books of miracles, it's raised my faith. It's really, really important. But what a miracle. God is extraordinary. I've got a bit of time. I'm going to share a few other miracle stories that have happened to me to raise your faith. So about 11 years ago, we got pregnant with our fourth child. And sadly, I miscarried. We lost Zebedee. Zebedee is in heaven with Jesus. But when I miscarried, I was starting to hemorrhage. And basically, I nearly bled to death. I was rushed to hospital. I was in hospital, going in and out of unconsciousness. None of the doctors could help me. It was a very, very scary time. I don't remember much of it. I know for poor Gareth, he remembers all of it. But I do remember one time when all the machines were going off and I was mourning that I'd lost this baby, but I knew that things were getting really, really serious. You know when things get really serious when a doctor cries, okay, folks, okay? So one of the doctors couldn't help me and they were crying. And Gareth was standing by my side and we were holding hands. And I remember looking up at the ceiling and just pleading with God. I was sort of mourning at the same time, but pleading because I wanted to stay here on earth with my husband and bring up my three children. And we prayed. We didn't know if this was going to be the last time we saw each other. But then this other doctor came. And I don't know what happened, but thank the Lord for the NHS and doctors. But the Lord answered our prayers. And the bleeding just stopped. It just stopped completely. And of course, there was lots of recovery. I was in hospital for days and had to have blood transfusions and all sorts of things. But God saved my life. We continue to pray for miracles, even in the hard times. I don't know how Peter did it, losing his best friend and being in prison. Lucy, we call our miracle baby. She, a few weeks old, stopped breathing on us. Very, very scary. Rushed to hospital. And she was on all these breathing apparatus. And people were praying. We were praying. Nothing seemed to change. And then one day, she just started breathing on her own. God answers prayers. We planted in Ofton before we planted here in a church called Glow. Glow, God Loves Ofton. And we had a church and a drop-in centre, and part of the drop-in centre, we had a little garage that we'd been given from the council that had tea. We collected like family baby stuff. And so we used to put it in all that garage. And one day, two sisters came in, and I asked if she wanted one of them. She was a teenage mum. If she wanted anything, she said yes. We gave it to her. And the other one said to me, I said, "Do you want anything?" And she said, "Yes." And she said, "I'd love a sewing machine." And I said to her, "Oh my goodness, we don't usually take anything but, you know, family, children stuff. But I didn't tell her this bit because it would have kind of made her think you're bonkers, lady. But a few days before I'd met her, someone had come in with a sewing machine wrapped in a black bin liner. And they said to me, 'Lizzie, do you want this sewing machine?' And I was like, 'Nah, I'm not sure.' And then I just heard the Holy Spirit say, 'You need to keep this sewing machine, Lizzie.' So I thought, well, if I don't, then, you know, in a few days' time, if no one wants it, then I'll take it to the charity shop. So I put it on the side in this drop-in center. And so when she said, 'Have you got a sewing machine?' I was like, 'Yeah, I have actually.' And I'm thinking, blimey, thank goodness that I listened to the Lord. But anyway, I gave it to her, but I hadn't unwrapped it. I hadn't had time to unwrap it. It was in a bin liner. And as she opened it, she could not believe it. It was a brand new sewing machine, and it was the exact sewing machine that she wanted. And I was able to say to her then, "This is a gift from your Heavenly Father. You might think I'm a little bonkers, so I did share her that bit, but this is from God." Anyway, this teenage mum started coming to our drop-in, started coming to my teenage mum's group, and then she started coming to church. She started a journey, on a faith journey with Jesus. God is good. And I could tell you loads, but I'm looking at the clock. Loads more. He is a good, good God.
Thank you for listening. If you want to respond or talk through anything in this preach, please feel free to email hello@stphillips.org.uk, and we would love to help you in any way we can. God bless you.